I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we have some familiar faces here in a new configuration today. It's Lazy Lightning 420, which is Mark Gartman of Coyote, Too Many Banjos, and so many other projects, and then Eric Berry of Trampled by Turtles and your solo stuff that you do. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you guys are doing as people who are in the know will know, but some of us aren't that quick on the pickup. Lazy Lightning 420 kind of gives people a hint that this is a Grateful Dead project.
Yes,
that's the idea.
And you've been doing this for a little while. How long have you been doing this?
We first played together in October.
Okay. And you have a residency for the month of January at the Red Herring Lounge. You're going to kick that off tonight, right?
Yeah.
Every Wednesday.
That's right.
All right. And what time does that start?
9.
We'll have a DJ, a Deadhead DJ, spinning some stuff before we start and then during our set break, too.
He's spinning cassettes.
That's true.
Whoa.
He's spinning dead bootleg cassettes.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Well, why don't you guys start with a song and then we'll come back and find out about how this project came about and where it's going and anything else you want to talk about. What do you guys want to start with here?
I think we're going to do a song called Stagger Lee.
'40 Xmas Eve with the full moon over town. Stagger Lee met Billy DeLine and he blew that poor boy down. Do you know what he shot him for? What do you make of that? Billy DeLine threw a look of dice when Stagger Lee steps in his hat. Bye-yo, bye-yo, tell me how can this be? You arrest the girls for turning tricks, but you're scared of Stagger Lee. Stagger Lee is a madman and he shot my Billy D. Bye, old boogie tin, give the job to me. Be we are, dear liar, this we do. Shot on me in the balls, blew the smoke off her revolver, had him dragged to City Hall. Bye-yo, bye-yo, see you hanging high. Shot my Billy dead, cause now he's got to die. Delia, when I walk in, down on sink, Paul Street, three-piece band on the corner played me my God to be.
Lazy Lightning 420 live from Studio A and Staggered Lee. So I was thinking as you were playing, have either of you been in an all covers project before?
Sure. I've been with the Ween thing. I did Ween shows
Yeah, that was just recently. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That was recently. I like, for me personally, I just like to, as opposed to sort of playing, so, well, I guess I do some covers, but I like the idea, kind of like the Ween thing. This is similar to that project in that it's just sort of all-encompassing. Like you just, you go way into their world, learn as much as possible, and just get as close to the source as you can. So to me, they're kind of similar. Just let's try and learn as many Dead tunes as possible, as many Ween songs, you know, the similar sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Years and years ago, I was in an all-black Sabbath cover band called Taco Tuesday.
Of course.
And what that project and what this one have in common is we didn't try to sound like the band. Like, you know, like when we play like the shows and we plug in, I use effects pedals and stuff, and so I'll get like some of those Jerry Garcia tones, but we never sound like we have two drummers and Phil Lesh playing bass. You know what I mean? And with Taco Tuesday, we never tried to sound like that British doomy gloomy thing, but we learned all the parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we sounded like an American band playing Sabbath songs. Mm-hmm. And here we sound like a mandolin guitar duet playing Dead tunes, you know? and I like that, you know, it's, yeah, the repertoire is there, but then you are forced to be creative with it.
Well, and you guys are doing this thing where you're doing actual shows from, you know, there's so much material out there, recorded material of Grateful Dead concerts. So you're saying we're going to do this show, and tonight it's 1969. Which one? Two something? I don't have it in
right.
front of me.
I think it's February 22nd, 69.
Dream Bowl, Vallejo, California.
Yeah, early.
So
primal.
So when you do that, do you go back and listen to that show? Because they play the songs differently every time. So do you kind of go from how they play it at that particular show, or do you just do, you know, not pay attention to that and just kind of do the song the way you want to?
It's a bit of both. You know, like this one. Yeah, this one, just getting a handle on some of these really screwy, squirrely 60s arrangements has been challenging enough to try and make sure I throw in this lick that Bobby did at a certain point. I'm not going to worry about it too much.
You had a good line earlier about, before we went on, about the squirrely songs. It's a bunch of psychedelic...
Oh, it's a bunch of psychedelic 20-year-olds trying to write Baroque music.
I love that. That's great.
And like by the time you get to the 70s, they kind of figured it out. And it's like, oh, this is a graceful song that goes from this chord to this chord. But this stuff's kind of more like, oh, you know what's going to work here is a modulation up to a sharp 5, and we're going to go minor when we do it. You got that, Bobby?
Yeah. Jerry was a I think Jerry probably taught guitar during this time, or maybe he just quit. A lot of guitar knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So how did you guys find out that you had... Now, I know that... I've always known that you were a big Deadhead, Mark.
Did you? Okay.
And, well, I knew for a little while, anyway.
Okay.
And you, Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Is that your big Deadhead? Well, how did you guys mutually find out that this was something that you had in common?
I think just shooting the breeze when we'd hang out, maybe.
You know?
I mean, we kind of tend to find each other.
I'm not sure.
You
know, I had thought... there is, at least for me, there's sort of this flirting of an idea of maybe we should do something together. And that, for me, existed before the actual focus of what it was. And I was like, I don't know what that could... I'm into that. I just don't know what it is.
You know, I was reminding Mark about this about 10 years ago. We played a duo show at the Brew House. He gave me a CD. He's like, this is a bunch of demos for a new project. Are you interested? And I was like, oh, yeah. But what I didn't say was that 2 hours earlier, my wife had told me she was going to have a baby. And I wasn't, you know, and I'm not supposed to tell anybody anything. So I'm just like, oh, playing it cool. But it's like in my head, it is not cool. Anyway, I never called him back. And that's why. I don't think he remembered that. But
I don't remember.
Yeah. There was like this bit where like, yeah, we were going to do something. But then I had to like focus on other things.
Life. Right. Yeah, life. Well, that's fun. And so... what is it about, you know, Mark, I know you to be a very eclectic musical, have a very eclectic musical taste. And so, I mean, you just run the gamut, but it seems like the Grateful Dead is one of your particular, you know, favorites, influences, however you want to put it.
Sure.
What is it about them?
Oh, I think it's probably a few things. I think first is probably nostalgia. The Dead was an early, you know, 16... liking this stuff, listening to this stuff, and wanting to be in a band and play music and go on the road and stuff like that. That was important to me. And then obviously the songs, but I think that there's I got to join a cultural movement of sorts, and I never really thought to be in a straight up Grateful Dead cover band. Because I love their music so much, I was scared that if I would OD on the stuff. And so far, it's going fine. I really like the structure of playing specific songs. I didn't know, honestly, that Dark Star Orchestra plays specific shows from the Dead's past as well. I didn't know that. I thought, not that we need to change what we're doing, but I thought our idea was unique. Apparently it's not.
So but having said that, I don't think it's particularly common.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Especially in this configuration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's forced us to do things like, and you know, I'm about to veer into like some deadheadness here, but I don't think Mark and I would choose to open shows with Hell in a Bucket.
Right.
Because it's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. But the Dead opened lots of shows with Hell in a Bucket. So if we're doing a tune where they did that, our hands are tied and we have to do that. And there's something about that's really kind of, that does feel unique, because I feel like a lot of Dead cover projects, they kind of play, well, let's call them the hits, you know, and by design, we're kind of playing the deep cuts too.
Yeah.
The last gig we played Sunrise, which is a Donna Jean song. And I don't think an all-male Grateful Dead duo is going to be like, let's play one of Donna's tunes.
And Donna Jean was, tell us about that.
She was a member of the Dead in the 70s. She and her husband Keith were in there, and Keith played piano and Donna sang. Donna's a great vocalist. You mm-hmm. probably have got a bunch of her stuff on the outside of your Grateful Dead section. She sang with Elvis. She sang on When a Man Loves a Woman.
Nice.
You know, like she's got a resume.
Mm-hmm.
But she was in the Dead for about 8 years in the 1970s. And she wrote some tunes, and one of them's called Sunrise. And it's definitely a hippy-dippy 70s song.
Yeah, it's a studio tune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Eric, so how about you? What was it that drew you to the Dead? And when did you first hear them?
I first heard them my freshman year in college. And
that's a perfect time to first hear.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like, you know, kind of like came with it with like a bunch of friends who I'm still friends with to this day. And so, you know, Mark talks about nostalgia, and there's a certain element to that. But when I first heard them, it sort of seemed like when I was in high school, I was a guitar nerd, and I was into like metal music, and I was into jazz guitar. And it just, you know, because like that's where like the hot guitar players were. And there was something about when I first heard the Dead, it was like, oh man, this is what I've been talking about. You know, like there's constant improvisation, but it rocks. And there's like, you know, there's all this stuff that like I was getting bits and pieces of with what I'd been listening to before, but it kind of felt like the complete package.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to accept the fact that non-musicians also like the Grateful Dead. I was like, what do you see in this band if you don't play an instrument? You know?
Well, and they have different kinds of stuff. They have stuff that's more accessible to us non-musicians, and then other stuff that is definitely, especially the live stuff, you know, yeah. It's just...
I had a couple years there where I had like 300 tapes and CDs, and I could listen to like nothing but a Dead or Dead associated act and felt like I was still covering the gamut.
Wow.
You could listen to bluegrass, you could listen to folk, you could go into reggae, you could get close to reggae, you know, like mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff there.
What are you guys going to do next for us here?
I think we're going to try, emphasis on try, a song from tonight's 69 show, Mountains of the Moon, which is just a classic early Dead song that probably didn't make it past 70. I don't know if they redid it again or something, but it's early.
No, I do know a little bit though that Robert Hunter revised some of the lyrics after teleprompters, and Jerry approved it to be changed in the teleprompter, but they never did sing it. That would be getting rid of 20 degrees and all.
History.
Yeah. Thank you.
rings of the moon are like ship bowing to me. High ho, the carrion crow, for the diddle. High ho, the carrion crow, bowing to me. Hey.
Lazy Lightning 420 live from Studio A and Mountains of the Moon. They're Grateful Dead tune because that's all they do.
That's right.
So you mentioned earlier, Mark, you know, you were a little bit afraid that you'd get tired of the music by doing all you know, this music that you love so much by doing the covers. What have you gotten from really diving in and exploring? I mean, it sounds like both of you have already, you know, listened extensively. Is there something different that you discover when you're trying to figure out how to play the tunes that gives you a different appreciation for it?
Oh, for sure. I would say the biggest thing that I've learned, both what I like actually is that Eric and I just both sort of fall into the roles that we need to do for this with this band, which is kind of fun for me. But the biggest thing that I've learned is, not that I didn't know this, but now I know it more, Jerry's vocal range. For me, that's been the biggest, because I've sung along to these songs in my head, you know, these sort of things, but I've never actually sat down and learned them in the key that they play it in. And I have learned that he has a very strong voice, whether it's really soft or whether it needs to rock. And going back and forth between, because the Dead usually would do a Jerry-written song and then a Weir-written song, and then going back and forth between the two different styles of singing, for me, has been the big thing, has been a really interesting experience. I'm sure it's an education of some, as far as educational stuff goes, the Garcia, what's his name? Who wrote the lyrics again?
Robert Hunter.
The Garcia Hunter tunes, the chords, the sort of jazz rock chords that Jerry brings to the structures of the lyrics are really quirky and interesting, so I'm learning that as well. But anyway, vocals for me has been the most interesting part.
Interesting. How about you, Eric?
Well, it's definitely directly related to that because Mark's the primary singer, so he's singing the Jerry tunes and the Bobby tunes, and these tunes that I have figured out on my own, like before this, I basically would figure out Jerry's part. And the first show we did had a Scarlet Begonias in it, and we both sit down and we both play Jerry's part, and it's like, whoa, okay, I shouldn't do that. Mark should do that because I got to figure out that. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out what Bob's doing. And I've never had been really motivated to do that because prior to this, you know, the extent of doing Grateful Dead songs has been mostly around campfires with a few exceptions, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's directly related to the fact that Mark's singing. And mm-hmm. then when we do play, I do have a mic in front of me, and sometimes it's like, you know, I don't particularly sing. I'm not particularly good at it. But some songs are just crying out for another voice. And so, like, it's kind of fun for me to have the courage to do that too, and then wonder if I should have or not. But
and Mark, you said something earlier about your roles, like you each have your role. What are your roles in this group, in this duo?
Okay, well, I handle most of the vocals, and then I'll handle sort of structural stuff, and Eric will do lead stuff, but we sort of go back and forth. I guess it depends on the song. It happens sort of naturally to me. I'm not sure which song we do things, but we'll practice, like right now, this is our practice for tonight, kind of. And so it has to fall into place relatively quickly, just sort of like, was that right? That seemed right. And if Eric's playing that, that means I should do that. So it's, I like the quick math that I need to do. And since it's just two people, it's really easy to be like, good, good, done. You know,
And some of it is not Jerry or Bob. Like, you know, the first tune that really kind of, you know, kicked our butts and we had to really work on it was Lazy Lightning. And there's a bit in there where, like, Jerry and Bob hit a chord and it just sits there ringing, and Phil, bass player, does something. It's like, okay, someone's got to cover that, you know. And then, you know, we'll play Not Fade Away, and like, suddenly we're like, we're the drummers, you know.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of touchstones in the tunes that sometimes it's not a guitar player covering.
But it just sounds like a fun, creative exercise to be able to, mm-hmm. you know, how do we do this with two guys?
Yeah, it helps. And I think by definition, we have to be Deadheads to do it.
Right.
Because the music has to be so internalized. I can't imagine like someone else trying to do this with just like, okay, listen to this song a little bit. And mm-hmm. when does it do this thing? Like, I don't know. Just when it does it. Yeah.
These songs already exist in us. Actually, figuring out how to do them is like the last 20% of mastering it. Everything else is just sort of there naturally. Standards, as we call them.
Yeah, well, you know, they say like to become a master at something, you have to spend like, what is it, 10,000 hours doing it? And we probably have put in our 10,000 hours listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow, yeah. You know. And so as far as the Grateful Dead phenomenon, the band, Jerry passed away in 1995.
That's right.
And so that was the end of the them as that entity. Before that, how many shows, Mark, did you ever get to?
Thank you so much for asking me. It's either five or six. I saw five or six Jerry shows.
Nice.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. great.
And Eric, I don't
Eric, know. Do you see any?
I'm not.
I never saw Garcia.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And I've told
this. I had a ticket for the last one, July 9th, 95, and then I couldn't get out of work. And then the guy who wouldn't help cover my shift, he came into work. And I was like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I decided not to go. Like, oh.
And that is actually the only Grateful Dead show I ever saw. It ended up being the very last one in Chicago.
Yeah, yep. Cool. Yep.
Just
good for
you. And I, you know, I really didn't know that much. I was just, you know, I'd heard about it and was like, I want to check out, see what this is all about. Mm. And that was it. So,
sure.
But I'm glad I got that opportunity. So you saw like five of them and what age did you start going to see
East Coast? I went on a date with a girl and her dad came too, I think came as well, 16. That was in Nassau Coliseum, which became something else, but that was Nassau at 16. And then I went again a couple times later with some friends, and I was a big Deadhead. And I remember most people, or at least at the time, it seemed like most people were sitting down during the drum space segment. And I was so excited to be there that I stayed dancing during the drum space segment. And my friends were like, man, he's a real hardcore dude.
Oh, funny.
So, yeah, and then I saw one up in Highgate, Vermont. When was that? 94, 95? I don't know what year it was.
Was there the riot?
There was a Highgate show with like Dylan, and then they just made it free.
It must have been 95. My understanding from what I've read is there was a one in 94 that went great. So they're like, this is awesome. We'll play there again. And then twice as many people that could fit showed up. And so.
I remember we started in Burlington. We started the drive at night, and we stayed in traffic through all night and then the day to get there. I remember like we started and the traffic started right away. It, like, never stopped for the next 12 hours. That's part of the trip, though.
So when you're doing these shows, how do you pick the shows that you're going to cover? Do you guys have favorites that are just, like, go-tos? Or do you think, we got to be able to play these songs?
Well, for me, personally, I knew when we first started this, I don't know all the... I'm not the best at that sort of stuff. But I did know they had this classic show, Cornell 77. And I was like, we should start there. That's, like, the classic Dead show. From there, for me, I don't really know. I wanted to go back and forth, but from there, Eric, I'm not really sure what happened after that.
Well, the next one, it's kind of a mix of shows that are on the famous side and then some of the more obscure ones. Like we also have done September 18th, 87 at Madison Square Garden, which they put out on their 30 Trips box set. But then we also did December 16th, 86. And we did that because we had a show on December 16th. Oh, and right. It was like, well, is there any cool anniversary shows? And what's really neat about this is we don't have to sound like the band. So they can have had a junker of a show with a great set list. And that's all we need is their set list, which is, you know, we're actually at the end of the month, we're doing a show from 95, which I still haven't sat down to listen to all of, but I don't really have high expectations for it.
What do you mean?
Listening to the band.
Of how they sounded?
Listening to Jerry stumble his way through Unbroken Chain.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. But, you know, we decided to do a show this month from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and Mark picked a show from 1980, and I really wanted to do West L.A. Fadeaway. So I was like, okay, come on, Google, you know, and like, what show has got West L.A. Fadeaway and So Many Roads and The Days Between, three of my favorite songs? And there is one, and it's from May of 95. So it's like, boom, here we go.
Perfect.
You know, but I still haven't sat down, like, because 95 shows they're tough to listen to.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they're tough.
Like, Jerry wasn't in great shape.
They don't sound, you know, the band sounds weird. And
yeah.
Yeah.
but you get to do them your way.
But
the
set list is great. So it's,
But this is fun. The herring thing is fun to do. We were rehearsing in Bob's in the Red Room for something or other, and Bob said, "Do you guys want to do a residency?" And we just sort of looked at each other like, "Sure." And then the idea of doing, since there are four Wednesdays in the month, a 60, 70, 80, 90, sort of go through their whole career, seemed like a cool attempt at something different, hard.
Plus, it was neat to get booked four more shows before we'd ever played our first show.
Right. That was early. Just sort of tying into that. That was good. You were in the right place at the right time for that.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys want to finish up with here?
I think we're going to do a classic Jack Straw.
We can share the women, we can share the wine. We could share what we got of yours, cause we don't share all of mine. Keep on rolling, just a mile to go. keep on rolling. My old buddy was moving much too slow.
I just jumped the watchman right outside the fence. Took his rings for bucks and change. Ain't that having sense?
Hurts my ears to listen, Shannon, it burns my eyes to see. But down a man ain't gold, but Shannon might as well be me. Now he played for life. Once was bold, he wants the blood, the point of a knife. Now the die is shaking, now the die must fall. There ain't a winner in the game. Don't go home with all. Now we've all. Fourth day of July. Sun so hot, the clouds so low, the eagles fill the sky. Cats of Detroit, lighting out of Santa Fe. Great Northern, out of Cheyenne, from sea to shining sea.
Gotta go to Tulsa, first train we can ride. Gotta settle one old score, one small point of pride.
In the place a man can hide, Shannon, to keep him from the sun. Ain't no bed can give us rest now, you keep us on the run. Wichita cut his buddy down, dumped him in a shallow grave and laid his body down. Half a mile from Tucson by the morning light, one man down and another to go. My old buddy, you're moving much too slow.
That's Lazy Lightning 420 live from Studio A. And of course, that is Eric Berry and Mark Gartman. And they are playing tonight, kicking off a residency for the month of January, Wednesday nights at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Show starts at 9, right? Well, thanks so much, guys. It, you know, it's so much fun, like how much enthusiasm you have for this project. It just shines through, you know.
It's fun. I'm having a good time, Eric.
Good. I'm having a good time too.
and you've you've done a few shows. Are the people that come big Grateful Dead fans? All you know, or are there some people?
That's a good question too.
Or are there some people that just are curious and are checking it out? And maybe are becoming Grateful Dead fans because of you.
That'd be crazy.
I think a bit of both. I definitely had one person at one of them say that she does not like the Grateful Dead, but she came to check us out anyway and really liked it.
Uh-huh.
I would say our target market, especially with the band name, is very specifically Deadheads. I mean, they have a song called Lazy Lightning. Like a couple, mostly I've gotten grief from people about the band name, which I continue to enjoy. Because they go like, "What are you just? Are you just trying to get deadheads to come see you?" It's like, that's exactly right. You hit it right on the nose there.
Now, did the whole 420 thing, which is, of course, the time you're supposed to smoke pot or something.
It's my dad's birthday. I don't know anything about that, but my dad's birthday is April 20th.
Oh, so this is a nice tribute to your dad.
Absolutely.
Did that originate with the Grateful Dead? I'm ignorant about that part of it.
420?
Do you know? Do we have
I think it's a police thing, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe that's it.
We've got a 420 in progress.
Oh,
isn't that what that
it,
is?
That's it.
According to the Deadhead Dictionary, that's a myth, though.
Oh.
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. I got the internet right here, so after the session, I'll get to the bottom of it. But, and Eric, before you go, I just have to ask you one thing about, you know, you're in this other band. People might have heard of Trampled by Turtles.
That's right.
You guys are on a little hiatus right now.
Yes,
kind of
that's
true. Indefinite, from what I hear. You don't, there's no definite plan.
There's no definite plan, no.
Okay. But I'm just, you know, you've worked your butt off with that band for like 10 years. So is it 14 years. So and you live around these parts, right?
I do. My family, we live up by Two Harbors.
So is it nice having a little, is this like nice to just have this little break after working so hard for so long? I mean, and you're doing other things obviously, but
right. You know, it is nice to be home a lot more. There's a lot more question marks about my professional life.
Right.
So that brings an element of stress, which has not been as fun. And so, you know, I don't know, day to day things are fine, you know. Dave happened to be in town the other day, Dave Simonette, and we hung out for 45 minutes or so between shows. I played at Sir Ben's and then I played at the Red Herring and I had an hour between them and hung out with Dave and had a beer and talked about life, and you know, things are good. The band's friendly with everybody, you know. It's just, you know, you spend 14 years with somebody and maybe you don't want to for a year or something like that. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. And that sounds a lot more dreary than I think things are. But I can't, in good faith and good conscience, say, oh, yeah, we're getting together in 2 months, because that's just not true.
Well, and Dave's got his new album out and he's touring behind that. And,
right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you're getting to do this, so you just need to figure out how to make this a big monetized thing. Gartman,
well said.
Gartman, get on that.
We're doing well. We just played a great show at the Turf Club a couple weeks ago. Packed it. It was great. Things
nice.
Are going fine. Yeah.
All right. So this is your future, Eric. Whether you know.
Oh, whether you want to or not.
You know, there's like 20-year-old me would be like, are you kidding?
I get to do
You're
that?
Playing Grateful Dead music and getting paid for it? Yeah.
This is heaven. Well, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Maya Jensen, Aaron Welch, and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.